this is Larry Nelson, and we're back with John Stefanis of Cisco Systems and the W3W3 Talk Radio Show. We are discussing how to survive and thrive on the Internet. Hello, John.
Oh, good morning, Larry and Pat. How are you?
Oh, we're doing really well. John, last week we talked about working with remote teams as part of the Chronicles of a Net Ready Consultant series. It's a topic that has begun to take on an ever-increasing role in our industry, in many industries.
And by the way, if you missed last week's program, you can listen to it anytime by logging on W3W3.com. Now, you can listen to it, by the way, while you're doing your email. And by the way, that Peter Jeanette, John, is here also to harp in and ask you a couple questions on this topic we're going to be addressing. And he's the guy who does our archiving for us, so he prepares the radio show after we're done. He put up the web community calendar for us. He does a lot of interactive things for us, and his company, NewMediaOne.net, really has come through for us a great deal. And I know you've made some great comments about him, too.
He's a gem.
Yeah, you betcha. Well, John, today you said you wanted to talk about managing the client. And by the way, as we get into this a little bit, you know, I got thinking about your topic here, and something hit me. You know, as a client, and as the man, you know, I would like to know how I should be managed also, like maybe how I could make it a little bit easier for the consultant I'm working with. But based on the emails that we received, there are many listeners interested in this topic, and with the market readjustment, whatever that is we've been going through, there seem to be a lot more consultants today than in the recent past.
Clients come in all types and flavors. How do you identify the types that get it versus those who are impediments?
Oh, there are a couple of ways, Pat. That's a very good question. And usually, especially in today's environment, if those that get it, they'll be, number one, very enthusiastic to have you come in there and, you know, literally make a change, make an impact. But they'll also be the ones that will say, okay, what do you need from our side? How much resource do you need? What can we do? How can we help you out? And by the way, before you come in, tell us exactly, you know, the what we have to prepare for. If there's anything we have to prepare for, we'll get the background material going. So they're really, they want to become an active part of the project team or the team itself. The other one is that usually a lot of people I deal with, they'll ask you, okay, I really want to understand this because I want you to transfer the knowledge to me.
Ah.
When you leave, I want to understand this and, you know, move on, you know, long after you're gone. Now, that's a good client to have. They could be demanding, but, you know, one that is thirsty for knowledge and really wants to understand what's happening and work with you, great clients.
Yeah, it sounds like they actually ask questions and are open and receptive to what you've got to say then.
Very much, and over time, it's interesting watching them as they go through the course of working together, whether it's 3 months or 6 weeks or what have you. Their level of competency in dealing with an external, you know, consultant and what they learn comes up the curve very, very rapidly. And they will do, they have gone out and actually, you know, give me some books to read. Who do I go to? Where else can I go? Where do you guys get your information? How do you think these things through? They ask some very pertinent questions, always looking for that deeper knowledge.
You know, years ago when I used to do a bunch of consulting, I know I'd walk in and be introduced to the team, whoever I'm going to be working with or might be interviewing for a while. And it turned out that I had a little rule of thumb. The one who smiled the most was my saboteur.
That's a good rule of thumb, Larry. That's a very good one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And speaking of that, are there common characteristics above and beyond the smile? Of those that tend to be stuck, you know, either because of their age, you know, a department or the term that they've been with the company, their discipline. Are there any clues at all?
This sounds terrible, and it's not meant to be that way, but most occasions, if I had to pick out one, you know, key point, it's usually it's the age factor. And the more mature one becomes, the more one gets set in one's ways.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very, you know, they could tell you, well, I've been through here before. I know what you're trying to tell me. I've been there. Look, kid, you know what the hell you're talking about. And I've been around the block. The best ones that I get are the engineering types because they're logical and they're rational. The ones where you have the most problems that, you know, they may not get it, but they'll argue you to death are the ones that tend to have a liberal arts degree.
Uh-huh.
And they'll argue.
Peter's laughing right now. Yeah.
And they're bright people, but, you know, it's tough to get them focused. They'll find 15 ways to get around an issue, and they usually aren't disciplined enough to get something done.
Yeah. <that's bad. laughs>
John, I have a question for you. I've I've seen in situations where you have your management and they're not used to the E part of their business, and so there's sort of a lack of confidence there in what they're doing. In other words, a little bit of timidness, and they're a little bit afraid to make decisions. So you kind of get stuck in the idea phase. And as the consultant, in my case, the technical consultant, you want to kind of move them and get them to feel good about their original idea so you can
now
get
feel
to...
feel good, that's the key word there.
Right, so you can get to at least a little bit of implementation and start testing, you know, some of those ideas. But again, that's kind of turning the tables because they hire you to come in there and you sort of need to direct them. And do you have any tips on that?
Oh, that's a very good question. You guys always have good questions. I don't have very good answers to me.
Oh, no, you're back over and over and over because of your answers.
I tell you what I used to do, Peter, and what I try to always, number one, usually if when I go into a client, you know, part of the premise is that we have to get something done in 3 months or less. We've got to. If we're not going to do this, then you should find another consultant because this is not, you know, my cup of tea. I spend a lot of time with a client, primarily, you know, socializing, and it may be over lunch or maybe over dinner. And the intent is to say, well, you know, A, number one, make them feel confident, and B, it's interesting, getting them alone in a one-on-one setting like that where it's quiet and away from the office and they can just reflect, you could get a lot of discussions done and start planning ideas because, you know, within 48 hours they'll come back and they'll say, you know, I thought about, John, what do you think about this? Mm-hmm. So I try to make it appear as if it is their idea and, you know, have them internalize it. And depending upon the length of the project, Usually, you spend a lot of face time. With a client in achieving that, and helping overcome that fear that they have, and saying, "Okay, now that you've done that great decision," or saying, "Look, there are two or three ways it could go." Now, if I were running a company or for my, you know, department, here are the things that I would do. Here's why I would do it. Let's talk about that over dinner tonight or over lunch, and start, you know, eye dropping in some ideas into them and making them feel comfortable with it.
Now, that sounds good. But you know, that drives me crazy when Larry was doing consulting and people did think they were their ideas, not, you know, Larry did a very good job of helping him bridge that gap. But in the end, I get frustrated because he's not getting the credit. How do you feel?
I said,
that?
Give them the credit, I'll take the cash.
Say, John, how do you leverage those that get it? Is it common sense management, which seems almost to be uncommon, or are there certain strategies or tactics?
What I normally do is to, you know, get the people that really do get it, and I would, you know, basically put them into other small, you know, sub teams or other little project tasks, and have them be the literally the ones that evangelize to a large degree, or at least help their peer group. And if it's a client that really gets it, and, you know, they're really enthusiastic, I will put them, given their personality mix, you wouldn't put an introvert and an extrovert together. It just would be chaos. And let them be primarily another, you know, treat them and have them act as a consultant with their own peer group. And just hold them up as, you know, hey, this is like a poster child. Have them take more of a leadership position with any project team. And they'll do a very good job of, again, they know the culture of the organization. They probably know their fellow employees better than we do as a consulting group, or any consultant could, and they would find ways to actually help push them through the organization, but use them as that spearhead for the second or third layer down.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. By the way, we are here with John Stefanis of Cisco Systems and the author of Net Ready. We call that the B2B Bible. And we are talking about managing the client. And John, if I could, let me just switch the tables here for just a second. I want to be a good client, and I want you to manage me accordingly, and even though I'm the manager of my group. Is there something in this area where I can help you leverage that question that Pat asked about how do you leverage those people who do get it? Is there something that you might recommend that I do as the manager?
Yes. One of the things is that a lot of times we'll go into a client and, you know, after about, usually I like to have a meeting with a client after about, you know, the first 3 or 4 days or 5 days, and just say, okay, now here are the personalities of the team the way we see them. I'd like to get your feedback on that one. And by the way, here's who we think are your two or three best stars, quote-unquote, the ones that are going to get it. Now, having said that, okay, where would you put them where they could be most effective from a personality perspective within your organization or helping out the other team members? If I have a person that gets it and some that are just borderline, I usually would ask the client management team, okay, you know these people, what is the best fit of this personality type and the other individuals on the team, and let's go ahead and we as consultants will, you know, say, we'll take the brunt of trying to put them together and we'll come up with the reasons why they should be working together. But get the client totally involved in terms of helping them in that decision, because number one, you're pointing out who their stars are going to be and who they can leverage in the future. Number two, it's got to be a joint decision because they know the personalities. I've seen many, many times where you have a really good player and you put them with another organization or individual where you think they may work out, and it is like night and day, oil and water. It just does not work.
No. You know, John, I think you, right there with your answer, you pointed out a very important thing, and that is you as the consultant, you do listen, you do allow them input, you listen to what they have to say, and you're helping them feel good about being directed, I guess. I don't know.
The first thing I always, nowadays anyways, I was pretty arrogant in my younger days. But
no, Dr. John, I don't believe that. No. I don't believe that.
Always have the team come in and say, look, when we first, you know, probably about the first 2 hours or first half a day of a project where you go through, here's what we're doing, why we're doing it, and we have the team assembled. I always have a set of rules of the game that we start off with, and one is, you know, there's no such thing as a dumb idea, number one. Number two, so ask any question you want to. Number two, is that, you know, if there is material information, it stays in the room. It never goes out. And you don't take shots at people. You take shots at ideas. And one of them is that, by the way, we as consultants don't have all the answers. That is not the point. We have some good ideas, some good principles, but you are the experts because you are carrying the profit and loss for the company. I'm not. So they have P&L responsibility and accountability. I'm there to help them out.
So do you find sometime that part of your job is really helping pull the right or the best answer out of them?
Yes, for the most part, because it's interesting. We could probably isolate the problems better than they can, because they're so close to it. And as an external party coming in, you can say, well, these are the five things that are wrong. They probably have the answer, or they're about 80% of the way toward that answer. And I think a good consultant could help pull them through that last 20% and leverage the ideas that they have, giving them credit, number one. But to Pat's point, that was one of the hardest and most fascinating lessons I learned. If you work very, very well with the consulting as a team, as a consultant with the project, over time, it gets to the point where they really think that it is their idea, and they look at you at the end of the project and say, yeah, I'm not sure if you guys had any value. And
yeah.
You have to remind them from time to time, this is the process, here's what happened, here's how much you've progressed, here's, you know, literally where you came from 5 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago, look where you are today, here are the milestones that you went through. And you have to remind them from time to time.
Aha, very good. I guess I didn't do that enough.
So, Jen, how do you deal with these people who don't get it, assuming you can't transfer them? Can you ever really capitalize on their qualities?
Oh, yes. What I do is I make them the devil's advocate for the project.
Ooh.
you don't
hand them a harpoon, do you?
No, just say, okay, hey, guys, you know, okay, tell me, you know, here's the thing, we're trying this idea out, we're making a presentation to management, and you let them just, you know, you ask for their opinion, and they will basically shoot that thing to death. And by doing that, what you've done is to, you know, literally isolate and find out where all the potholes are, all the you know, where you could, you know, drive the Mack truck through there, and you could then firm it up to make it bulletproof. But they will find every single thing that could possibly be wrong or go wrong, or any condition that could possibly go wrong, because that's just the way that's their nature. So they're very good at bulletproofing a set of ideas or a presentation.
So they can become valuable even.
That's right.
Let's give them an award.
Well, let's say you're halfway through a project and one of your potential superstars is falling short of your expectations or even becoming a near detriment. What can you do then with them?
A near detriment.
No, that's a toughie because, you know, I always... People who were, you know, project managers, that, you know, are part of my team, and, you know, that occurs from time to time. And one thing you got to remember is that no individual is indispensable on any project.
Mm.
And that's the premise that we started off with any project, and that is, you know, you can think of it this way. I found this job when I was looking for one, and I could just as soon find another one. Usually, if there's that sharp a drop-off in their performance levels, or, you know, something, there's a fundamental problem. It could be the project team mix. It could be that, you know, there are personal issues or problems. And really, you have to have some one-on-one time with the individual and say, okay, I've known you on five projects. You know, this is not like you. Look at your past record. I mean, you've got nothing but 5 out of 5 on every evaluation. You know, is there an issue? And if there really is, try to take off the workload from that individual and have somebody else either help them out or come in or take over the leadership position. And you know, literally, if they have deep, you know, a lot of knowledge, you got to make sure that they're there so that anybody else could extract it. But you probably have to take them away from a leadership position on the project.
Boy, I tell you, one of the roughest consulting projects I ever had, about halfway through the project, just like Pat's question, I found that the greatest detriment to the whole team was the president of the company, who was going to retire in a year and a half and was coasting.
Oh,
yeah. All right, well, speaking of that kind of situation, but let's switch gears. How do you gracefully, is that if this is possible, of course, I bet John Stefanos could do it. He could do it gracefully. Me, I'd blunder my way out of it. But how do you exit from a project and a client once the work is complete? You know, sometimes they want to hold on, so they become dependent almost.
Oh, it's a weaning off process, Larry. And it's, usually when you have the final deliverable and at that stage you say, well, okay, here's some ideas for moving forward. Number one, you know, congratulations to your team. They're exceptionally good, and you go through, you know, really, and they are, what they did and how they accomplished that. And part of it is, you know, we have transferred a lot of knowledge. You people have really absorbed it like a sponge. I mean, you're competent beyond belief. I think the next series of steps would be that about once a, you know, say for the next month or so, we'll come in like once a week or maybe once 2 days every other week and just, you know, see how things are going. And by the way, don't hesitate to drop voicemails or emails. And by coming in, you know, less and less and less over time, it could be like 1 day a week or, you know, 2 days a week, then literally 1 day a week, then 1 day every other week. You tend to wean them off of the need for having a firm come in there, or an individual or consultant. But I usually start it off by saying, you have done an excellent job. Here's what you've done. Here's, you know, look at where you came from, where you are. And by the way, here's the set of competencies and the skills that you've acquired in that period of time. You really don't need anybody to tell you the truth. But, you know, we'll be glad to help you out because there will be glitches along the way. And gracefully, you know, wind your way down.
Well, John, boy, the time's flown by again. Next week, John Stefanos, is it all right if we could be discussing how is e-strategy different from business strategy?
I'll give you a clue. The E is silent.
Ooh, the hint for the week. There's got to be a prize for that. John, thank you so much. We'll see you next week.